You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you, as I always do, for making us part of your daily routine. Every day, Monday through Friday, we put out a podcast, and every day, Monday through Friday, you are listening to it. At least I hope you do Monday through Friday. And that just means a lot that you are taking us with you to the gym, in the car, in the shower, during your lunch break, listening to something while you're trying to work, whatever it is. Hope that you are enjoying the show. I hope that you are subscribing. If you are new to this, then thank you. And I hope that you are inspired enough by this show to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating and give us a good review. We may have a lot of new listeners because today I, John Corrales, am representing the Rain and Jays by talking to Sean Woodley of the Locked On Raptors podcast. And so welcome, Raptors fans who are listening, anybody who's listening. Hope you are enjoying this podcast. You're going to hear it in the conversation with Sean. Anybody that wants to hate listen to this show, I'm down with it. You can hate listen to us all you want. Anybody, an opponent, fan of an opposing team, you want to listen to this show, I'm down. Tune in, subscribe. Let's do it. So that's coming up in a minute. No practice today for the Celtics, but one thing that came out before we get to the conversation with Sean, it's on RedsArmy.com if you want to go take a look at it. A City Edition Celtics alternative uniform leaked today, and it looks like it's going to be a white jersey with a green Boston with yellow trim. An interesting little color combination, a little throwback to some of the old school stuff that had yellow trim. I like it. It's clean. It's cool. It's going to be interesting. It's nothing too crazy. I know I got into a whole thing with Millie's in the last podcast when he was on, and he called me out on Twitter when I was talking about the damn uniforms. I like simple, clean uniforms, and this is a simple, clean uniform. Go to RedsArmy.com and check that out. If you want to see what I'm talking about, the picture leaked today. It's making the rounds. So check it out. Leave a comment and see what that's about. Again, I like it. I think it's good. It's a good alternate uniform. And I can't wait for it to actually come out officially to see what it looks like officially. So again, that's on RedsArmy.com. And now let's get ready for this Friday night matchup against the Toronto Raptors. Our eventual, possibly, probably, Eastern Conference Finals opponent. I hope that's how it goes. It's going to be fun. Here's my conversation with Locked On Raptors host, Sean Woodley. All right, Sean, so one game down, 81 to go. We ready to fast forward to the Conference Finals so our two teams can just go ahead and meet up?
Yeah, I mean, it feels, if there's anything that's preordained about this NBA season, yeah, I know the Sixers are there, but also the Sixers are weird. I feel like a Raptors-Celtics conference finals is going to finally happen. I've been waiting for a Raptors-Celtics series for like years. I feel like the 3 years I've been doing this podcast, we've done a show each year and talked about how much we want to see the Raptors and Celtics meet up in the postseason. So I think we're finally going to get it, but I guess we have to deal with a regular season matchup first on Friday night.
Right. I am looking forward to both things. I think the East shapes up. There are a lot of very good teams in the East at the top. I think Boston and Toronto are in a class slightly above Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Yeah. And just kind of looking at Philadelphia, having played them just once and having seen their struggles, I think there's a little bit more separation between the Celtics and Raptors and Philadelphia and the rest of the league, the rest of the East. Like, I really feel like by the end of the season, it's going to be kind of like a flip the coin. Two teams that are pushing 60 wins. I don't know. What did you predict for a win total for the Raptors this year?
Over the course of the preseason, I was asked multiple times in like various podcasts and radio hits and stuff. And like my prediction kind of crept up from the beginning to the end. So by the end of it, I'm like 62 wins. Like it's happening. I think both the Raptors and Celtics are going to win 60. I think that's very much in play. I think the bottom of the East is garbage enough that that's just going to bleed a bunch of wins into those totals. And yeah, they might beat up on each other in the Sixers a little bit, but I just think the Celtics and Raptors, their rosters are the two deepest, I think, in the NBA probably. And they are two of the most sort of modern fitting NBA teams right now. They have multiple ways they can play and ways other teams can't really conform to. And like Kawhi Leonard is amazing. And if he plays, you know, last night he looked pretty good for the Raptors. His shooting was still a little bit off. But other than that, I mean, he looked like Kawhi Leonard and it was awesome. And it was extremely exciting to be in the building to watch him do some of that stuff. And also, if Kyle Lowry's sort of decline that everyone seems to be predicting is still a year or two away and he's going to play like he did last night, I mean, it's really, really exciting. I think the Raptors and Celtics are – I agree. I think they're a tier of their own. And I honestly think, like, Milwaukee might even be better than the Sixers, like, now. The Sixers I have such a hard time with because of their finish to the season, and like I'm always wary of teams that go on crazy runs at the end of the year, especially runs that are powered by Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova, who are no longer with them anymore, and also powered by like really easy schedules, because people kind of forget that Sixers schedule to end the season was cream puff. So,
oh my God, so easy. Yeah.
So like, I'm with you. I think there's a pretty clear division between Boston and Toronto, and how those two shakeout, I still don't know. I picked the Celtics to make the finals. I think it pains me because, but I mean, they're a really good team. And like, I think Kawhi is the best player in that series, and maybe that's enough to swing it. I think Kyle at like peak Kyle can be like the third or fourth best player in that series potentially. But the thing that really is the difference for me is not really so much the stars. It's the guys that the Raptors are kind of relying on to take a leap this season, like those same guys on the Celtics roster are already what you want them to be. Like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, that's what the Raptors are hoping their young guys can become. And maybe they will. Pascal Siakam looked awesome last night. Fred VanVleet suddenly looks like prime TJ Ford with his speed all of a sudden. And so maybe they can take some leap that, you know, evens up the scales a little bit in the sort of middle parts of the rosters. But I'm just going to go with what is already established with the Celtics first, and that is that they have very good players who are already what the Raptors are hoping their guys are going to be.
Yeah, now the reason why I put the Celtics above the Raptors, and not just because I'm the Boston guy, but I do think that continuity is a big deal. You guys have Nick Nurse, you have a new star player. There are questions. So until those questions are answered, I think the known quantity just trumps the unknown. And maybe by January we'll have different opinions. But and obviously in Toronto, you're probably listening to me and saying that I'm crazy or whatever. But yeah, Kawhi can be the best player in the series, will be the best player in the series if he's peak Kawhi. Nick Nurse is still figuring it out. And there are questions about what he will do with the rotations, with the, you know, can he draw a good out-of-timeout play when you need a basket and you're down two with 4 seconds to go? There's still things that need to be up. Maybe he will. But so for now, I think Brad Stevens, who in Boston we think is a god, I know in the rest of the NBA is like, all right, pump the brakes. But Brad Stevens, still though, good coach, a guy who's been there for a long time, longer than people realize, established players. I like where Boston is positioned more than where Toronto is positioned, but Toronto is still right there. Okay, so let's
interesting you mentioned – sorry, just quickly, the continuity thing is interesting you mentioned because, like, yes, Brad Stevens is still there, but also, like, it's not going to be easy to work Gordon Hayward into this, is it? I mean, it'll be easy because they're good players and they'll figure it out probably, but, like, by the end of the season, Jason Tatum was, like, the go-to guy who was the source of pretty much all of Boston's offense in the playoffs. And that was even with Kyrie Irving out too, right? So, and I wonder about, like, Terry Rozier's reaction to maybe the lesser role this season with Kyrie back, and eventually once those minutes kind of scale up for those best guys on the team. Like, I do wonder if there's going to be some sort of tension within the team dynamic about touches and stuff like that. But hey, maybe they won't, and maybe everyone will just take 13 shots and everyone will be happy with that because they're winning. But do you have any concerns about that? Like, is that there were rumors about that kind of in the preseason, and you know, there was talk about it sort of taking some time to really gel. But is there a concern for you that maybe this might take a little longer to gel than it would seem?
So we came into this season, I've kind of said that the Celtics fan approach coming into this season and last season should almost be reversed, because last season was the season that they got all-star Gordon Hayward. They got a top three pick in the draft. They had Kyrie that they just traded for. Last season was a season for, like, irrational exuberance. But last season, everybody went into the season saying, all right, this is going to take a little time to come together. It's probably going to be a slow start. All of the players are talking about a slow start. And obviously Hayward got hurt, but they whipped off a 16-game win streak early on. Mm-hmm. And this season, everybody's coming in like, oh, my God, we were one bad shooting night away from going to the NBA Finals without our two stars. We're throwing our two stars back in. Now we're guaranteed to go to the Finals. Like, I feel like that's kind of like the overwhelming thing. And it's going to take a little bit more time. But I will say that in the season opener, we got to see a little bit more of an indication of what this Celtics team could be, more so than the preseason. The preseason was bad. But I feel like we saw Gordon Hayward, who coming back from that injury, when you say integrating Gordon Hayward, you're not just throwing that former all-star Gordon Hayward in. You're reintegrating a guy who's coming back from an injury. And I'm careful of how to say this because I don't want to make it sound like the injury was a good thing. But what I'm saying is integrating Gordon Hayward is easier now because he's coming back from the injury, because he has no choice but to go slowly.
Right.
And they have no choice but to limit him to 25 minutes a game right now. And everybody's kind of on board with that. And if it was just, where do we find 35 minutes for all-star Gordon Hayward? That's just a different dynamic. And look, I feel like I need to repeat this. I wish we had 35-minute-a-night Gordon Hayward, and I wish he didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. But considering the current circumstance, having a guy that has no choice but to get slowly worked in actually is not the worst thing in the world, because it lets the Celtics slowly figure out how to do that. And they can do something like play Aaron Baines 20 minutes in the first game, and that's okay. And they can slowly kind of figure out combinations, and it's not going to be somebody complaining like, why didn't I get more minutes? Gordon Hayward knows he's going to get 25 minutes, and that's how it's going to be for the first few weeks. And then if that is just what works and the Celtics are at their best with Gordon Hayward playing 25 minutes, then Brad Stevens can be like, all right, for right now, we're just going to kind of roll with this and let's just see. So there are concerns, but it definitely falls under the it's a good problem to have with the Celtics, because that just means there's a lot of talent and a lot of guys who can score the ball. Now let me flip the question on to you, because you have a guy that is going to get 30 plus minutes, 35 minutes a game in Kawhi Leonard. He played 37 in the opener. Is there any concern about him fitting in with these guys as you try to kind of adjust on the fly in the post-DeRozan era?
So it's interesting because on offense, I don't really think it's going to take very long for things to kind of coalesce. And we saw it last night. There were just stretches of that game against the Cavs. And yes, it's the Cavs, but there were stretches of that game where, you know, their defense would lead to offense and they would have these possessions where it's all read and react. And that's what the Raptors offense is, right? And Nick Nurse was the architect of the offense that was really good last season and was still good in the playoffs. It was the defense that fell apart. And I do think the offense is just going to kind of carry over. And the things that Kawhi Leonard does well are kind of the same things DeRozan did well. He just does them better, right? Like, he's still – like, Kawhi will not – he's not afraid of a mid-range shot. He likes those shots. He likes to ISO. And he is a pretty good driving kick guy as well. He made a couple really nice bullet passes last night when teams were sending doubles – when the Cavs were sending doubles at him that were just, like, straight out of the DeRozan playbook. So I think just, like, the style of player that Kawhi is going to fit into the offense nicely. And everyone else is pretty much – so it's such a fine-tuned offensive machine. And the units that have played together so many minutes, like, there's just a lot of familiarity there between a lot of these guys. So I'm not even worried about the offense at all. The defense, I think, will take some time. And it's interesting because, you know, I think a lot of people sort of assume defense comes first. But this is a team that has been overcompensating for their best player – or not their best player, their second-best player – who is a absolute defensive liability for years. And I think it's going to be a bit of an adjustment to, you know, for all these guys to learn how to play with Kawhi and sort of where he's going to uplift them and where they can sort of cheat here and there and where they can kind of find edges just because he's on the court and he's going to mop up a lot of mistakes. Also, having Danny Green out there is very nice. Like, there's just a lot more defensive chops. I mean, last night during the game, there was a moment where the Raptors had CJ Miles and Serge Ibaka on the floor together. And I was like, this is maybe the worst defensive lineup they can put together because everyone else on the team is at worst a average defender. And, you know, most of them are much better than that. So it's not like the talent's not there for the defense to be good. I just think it's learning each other. It's sort of, you know, I think Nurse as well, I think his defense this season is going to be a lot more aggressive. The Raptors were a very sort of conservative drop back scheme last season. Didn't really go for all that many steals or turnovers or anything like that. They were just kind of, all right, we're going to force teams into bad shots and we're going to rebound those bad shots and we're going to go down and play offense. This time around, I think they're going to be much more proactive in trying to turn the ball over. And, you know, you saw last night against the Cavs that led to a lot of fouling, and that was a weird game. There was like 54 fouls combined in that game. It was not an interesting game to watch from that perspective, but I do think the sort of the instincts and the just the comfortability with playing that kind of defense will come around, and eventually it'll take some – but it's going to take some time because these guys don't know each other. They've not played a ton of minutes with Kawhi, obviously, already, and they're just kind of learning how to play with a guy like that. And also you have Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas just, like, never playing together anymore, and they're just they're pretty much just the two centers at this point. And it's going to take some time for, I think, the bench unit to learn how to play with Serge off the bench, playing center there instead of him playing power forward and picking and popping and not really being near the basket at all. And it's going to, you know, take some time there. But again, like, the offense is not a concern for me. It's going to be really good. And the defense, I think, will eventually get there and be top 3 to 6 in the league. But early on in the year, there might be some growing pains.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's to be expected for a new team. I thought getting Danny Green was such a key element to that trade.
It's insane that they got him also in this trade. It's just bonkers. Like, what a trade.
Like, I mean, obviously the trade is for Kawhi, but getting Danny Green out of it was just – it addressed such a glaring need. And it to me, like, that makes the trade just perfect for what Toronto was trying to do.
Now, Danny Green's not better than DeMar DeRozan, but he would have been better for the Raptors in that Cavs series last year. I have no doubt in my mind that DeMar DeRozan.
It makes a big difference.
He's playing, yeah.
Look, we're talking about Danny Green with DeMar DeRozan, and you got Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
So, like, that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You guys needed defense, and you needed shooting, and willing shooters, and you got both, and you got a potential top five, at worst, top 10 player. So that's going to be a big deal. And when the Celtics and Raptors eventually meet, if the prophecy is to come to fruition, having that best player in the series is always going to be that thing that people point to and say, well, maybe the Celtics have this, this, and this, but The Raptors have Kawhi, and we've seen Kawhi go off and have a finals MVP kind of series. So that's always going to be a concern for Celtics fans whenever we face up. So let me ask you this. How close are we? Because I didn't get I saw the box score. I saw that Kawhi had not the best shooting night, but a 24-12 game and a pretty nice game overall. How did he look to you?
He looks healthy and eager to hunt contact, and like there's a lot of burst there. There were a couple possessions where there was a loose ball around half court, and he would just gun for it and pick it up, and there was a clear path foul at one point that the Cavs committed on him. And his drives looked really – there were a couple sort of clunky ones, I suppose, but for the most part, they were calculated and hard to guard. Like, that is a physical – I think – the thing I wasn't prepared for watching Kawhi, because like I've watched Kawhi before, obviously, but like I guess never as intently as I used to. It's just like he's enormous, and he is a really good post-up player, and he kind of the Raptors are using him kind of interestingly in that in the post, and like they're just inviting all these doubles and trusting him to make these passes and get the offense cycling, and it's leading to really beautiful results. And then his drives are just so hard to stop. He's a really hard player to contain. I mean, he's a top 10 player. Of course, he's hard to contain. But it's just to a degree, his offense is a lot more refined, I guess, than I ever would have given him credit for. And even like going 9 of 22 last night, you could see it. A lot of them were like misses that you're going to live with and that are actually going to go in. Like Nick Nurse even talked about that. It's one of my favorite things, actually, about Nick Nurse is – he can't even contain himself when he talks about Kawhi. Like, he just breaks out into a smile whenever he's like, yeah, he's good. He's really good at basketball, and our team is awesome. Like, he can't really contain the joy, which I very much appreciate.
Well, imagine being Nick Nurse and saying, okay, we have been pretty good, but I just watched my head coach get canned. We needed to do something. Now, here I am. I've got basically the same team. And then – you know, Masai Ujiri comes in and goes, no, actually, we're going to give you Kawhi Leonard. No wonder he's freaking happy. I'd be like, this guy's pretty good. Imagine being a first-time head coach and being like, yeah, I get Kawhi Leonard. And, oh, by the way, Kyle Lowry, who remains underrated, is you're like, okay, sure. I get a team that is consensus top one or two. All right, sure, I guess I'll take it.
It's I appreciate that you recognize Kyle Lowry's underratedness. I feel like the Celtics are Celtics fans are one of a few groups of fans who just kind of know, because it hasn't happened in the playoffs because they've never met, but like Kyle has had some games against Boston. So it's always nice when I think Utah fans also kind of recognize Kyle as amazing because he always torches Utah for some reason. I don't know. Shout out to David Block. I have a question for you.
Shoot.
How do you feel about Jason Tatum hanging out with Kobe and talking to Kobe so much? You're a Celtics fan, first of all. I'm sure you're a fan of egalitarian basketball, anything that opposes what Kobe Bryant represented.
Sure.
Is there a worry that Jason Tatum might be Kobe poisoned?
Well, that's been a topic of conversation. The thing about that is we have the perfect antidote to Kobe poison, and that's Brad Stevens. And so yes, like we are aware that the stories are out there. Like we saw him working out with Kobe. We have heard ad nauseum that Kobe Bryant was Jason Tatum's favorite player. And so I'm not going to begrudge the guy for going and working out with his favorite player. Like, we look at it as that's pretty cool that a young star player gets to work out with an old former superstar player. But it's hard to really grasp that for a 20-year-old kid who's just kind of getting into this to go work out with his idol. That's heavy. That's heavy shit. That is heavy shit. And like there's going to be certainly some mimicking and some kind of over application of what Kobe said, because it's your damn hero telling you, you should do this and this. He'd be like, yes, sir. Like, that's those weren't two peers working out. That was Jason Tatum starstruck, guaranteed starstruck, and ready to apply every damn lesson that Kobe tried to teach him. Now, some of that is not great, but there's a calming down, I think, coming back and playing with his teammates and playing under Brad Stevens and playing under a structure and having people say, okay, that's great that you're going to cook and try to take these long twos, but no, don't take these long twos. I'm a proponent of mid-range jumpers. I think mid-range jumpers definitely have a place in today's NBA. I'm okay with him driving, taking two dribbles in, and taking a 15-footer. I think what you're talking about, the Kobe being Kobe poisoned, was we saw it a lot in the preseason where he would find – he'd make a move, up fake, whatever, take a step inside the three-point line or two steps inside the three-point line and shoot from there. That shit's not going to fly. And eventually – that will get beaten out of him in film sessions over and over and over again. And I think he's young enough and he's in a good enough, stable situation where Kyrie and Al Horford and Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens and the coaching staff and Danny Ainge will all tell him if he's doing something consistently wrong. So I get your point. I get what you're saying. I will not be triggered by this. And I feel comfortable about the support system beating out any bad habits that he might have picked up in any other knowledge that Kobe might have dropped on him.
It's okay. The Raptors traded a DeMar DeRozan and the Celtics acquired. Well, that's great. It's fun. friend of Locked On Raptors, Joey Devine, the host of Round Ball Rock, has coined the phrase toxic mambalinity. I don't know, man. As a person whose interests lie in the Celtics not beating the Raptors, I'm hoping for that to be the case. Jason Tatum's nice. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But if he gets lost in an identity crisis for a couple years here, I won't complain.
I'm sure. Just like I'm happy to see the Raptors doing so well in acquiring, making a bold move to get Kawhi Leonard. But I also wouldn't be crushed if he said, okay, that was a fun year. We'll see you later. So, we each got our thing that's going on with the other team. Like, I love the Raptors. I've always rooted for the Raptors and thought, like, I like that Toronto has the team. I love that Toronto has been good. I think that basketball in Canada is a great thing. But it sucks that you're in the same division because I can't have you guys be too good. I just can't. Like, it just goes against my personal interests. So
I wish I shared the feelings about the Celtics, but you guys have everything. You don't need my
No. Wait, look, so, let me tell you something.
I was in Boston this summer. I am disappointed I didn't go an egg TD Garden, I got to say.
Look, I will say that I don't speak for all Bostonians, but I speak for about 99.9% of them when I say I love the fact that we're hated. Like, okay, that's good. Like, I always say, back when I was playing, my favorite thing to hear was silence on the road because I would rather antagonize and shut up opposing fans than to hear the adoration of home fans that just comes with no matter what. So I get it. This is, I'm sure Toronto Raptors fans who are listening to me say that go, you son of a bit. Like, I get it. I get it. I love it. I will occasionally, I'm not a troll on Twitter. I definitely am not a troll on Twitter, but I'll occasionally toss a trollish tweet here and there just because I'm on Twitter and I got to throw it. You know, you can't be on Twitter and never troll.
Who among us has not had the urge to do that?
I'll throw a little something at the Raptors fans every once in a while. But
should we maybe like make a pick for the Friday night's game or what? Like,
yeah,
how do you want to?
Let's do it.
Let's. All right. The Odd Shark right now has the Raptors as 3-point favorites.
Oh, really?
Yes. The Raptors are very good at home, obviously. I'm not sure exactly what goes into, you know, I guess they're kind of calling it a toss-up, I guess, with 3 points being the difference. So, and this is the thing. I think it's very much a toss-up matchup and until we see more of it, obviously. But, like, if I was to be asked to pick who's going to win the conference finals, I'm flipping a coin I think it probably lands on the Boston side of things more, a little more often, but like it's very close. So this line makes some sense. What are you feeling? What do you got in your guts about this game on Friday night?
Well, I'm going to say that considering that like right now there's still so much in flux, I'm gonna go Boston. I think what Boston can do that can mess with the Raptors is still defend when you guys start a more traditional two big lineup. They can defend those lineups, but they can also be a matchup problem offensively, because if you go with Ibaka and Valanciunas, who do you defend when the Celtics, if the Celtics throw out Kyrie, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, and Horford, who does Ibaka guard? Who does Valanciunas guard? Like that.
Well, I just don't think we're going to see that at all. Like I don't think we're going to see those two play with each other.
That would be very bad if you did.
Yeah. They didn't play any minutes. They didn't have any overlap last night, and it worked really well. Serge was only 2-for-10, but he had a really nice game defensively and rebounding and just kind of being an active NG dude, which was interesting because normally he doesn't really care. honestly, I'm fascinated to see how the starting lineup's going to go for the Raptors, because Nick Nurse is not committing himself to a starting five right now. He's just trying stuff out. He started Pascal Siakam at the four last night. I would imagine we'll probably see OG Anunoby start tomorrow. The thing I'm most curious to see is if they're going to bust out the Siakam at center lineup at some point against Al Horford, because I think Siakam can hang there. Siakam was guarding Kevin Love and Rodney Hood last night at different times. Like, he can guard anybody. So if there's a team, again, maybe they want to save it for a time where it matters more. But if there's a team against whom I think the Raptors are going to bust out that Siakam at center with OG, Kawhi, Danny Green, and Kyle Lowry lineup, I think it's probably the Celtics. And if that's the case, oh boy, it's going to be a rockin' good time.
That'd be fun.
Bank Arena, yeah. Yeah. I don't know how often we're going to see Siakam at center. This is one of the matchups where I'm kind of circling. I don't think we're going to see the Raptors go two bigs ever. That's just not going to be a thing.
I would hope not. If the Celtics – and the thing is, the Celtics are flexible when it comes to – like the Celtics can – if you do, then they can throw out that small lineup to really, really be able – like I said, they can defend that lineup while being a matchup problem in offense. If you don't throw out that lineup and you go with OG and Pascal Siakam, then they can still – like that still poses a problem because Al Horford does so many different things. I think Al Horford is like the most important player in a series like this because of his versatility as a big. He can pick and pop. He can make passes. He can post up. I love, love, love running the offense through Al in the post and cuts behind him and going back door. It's just so much that the Celtics can do. I'm a big believer in the Celtics offense becoming an elite offense this year. They didn't shoot well. They shot 43% in the opening game, but they put up 97 shots. So if the Celtics can – they certainly won't average 97 shots, but if they can get somewhere in that 90 range and get better shooting nights than Kyrie Irving, who was 2 of 14, and Jaylen Brown, who was 5 of 13, and Gordon Hayward, who was 4 of 12, those things aren't going to happen very often. They got a lot of shots that they – like Kawhi, shots that were makeable that they missed. I like what the Celtics offense can be. I really think that the Celtics offense can be almost unguardable if they are operating at their peak. And the question really is, the biggest question for the Celtics is, can they get to that peak? And if they can get there, where Hayward is a distributor as well as a threat to shoot, where Horford is a distributor as well as a threat to shoot, and Tatum is doing what he does, and Kyrie Irving is doing what he does, and Jaylen Brown can be just decent, and I think he's going to be better than decent. Like, that five is going to be just a massive headache for any team in the league.
Yeah, I'm extremely jazzed for this matchup. I'll take the Raptors because why the hell not?
Why not?
Who cares? It doesn't matter. No one's going to remember these predictions anyway. But the chess match between Nick Nurse and Brad Stevens in this entire regular season series is going to be fascinating to me because what we said off the top, like, this is the most likely conference finals matchup. And I wonder if they're going to try to bust out all the stops in the regular season. But, like, even if they're not really trying to do it, I think it's just going to happen by default because there's so many good players on both teams. Like, they both run so deep and with different skills and different lineups they can throw out. Like, it's going to be a really interesting chess match all season long, and it's going to start on Friday night. It's I'm super, super fascinated.
I'm excited. I really am excited. Can't wait to see how it goes. And we'll, I guess we'll just save the rest. You're right. This is no one's going to reveal anything in game two of a very long season against a team that you have to face a bunch more, against a team that's in your division, and then against a team that is very likely going to be your Eastern Conference Finals opponent. So they will not play all of their cards here. This is very early in the poker game, and we still got a big stack to go in this. So it's still going to be fun, man. I'm excited. I'm glad we get to do this this year. This
is gonna be fun. I was sick of talking to Chris Manning. with the Cavs and having matchup with the Raptors. I'm kidding. I love Chris. He's on
Screw
Tuesday.
Screw that guy.
He's fine.
He's like the nicest guy in the entire lockdown crew.
Best.
But screw that guy. Yeah, man.
It's mostly just screw the Cavs at this point. We can come to common ground on that at least.
Yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
All right, man. I guess we should promote some stuff.
Yeah.
Locked On Raptors, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes. Obviously do the same with Locked On Celtics as well and the entire Locked On Podcast Network. It's still early in the season, so the previews are still apt if you want to go check out the Locked On NBA preview from last week. You also host one day of Locked On NBA each week as well, right?
Wednesday nights, me and Jake Madison from Locked On Pelicans, we have our Locked On NBA night.
You guys do an awesome job with that too. So.
Thanks.
Yeah, all of the lockdown stuff is very good. We're very much coming into our own now in our third season of operation, I think. So if you find a show, whether it's football, basketball, college sports, baseball even, subscribe, support it. Yeah, it's a good way to get a good local perspective on the team that you like or the team that you're interested in. You don't even have to like them. If you dislike the Celtics, I'm sure Locked On Celtics will still be good for you to learn about the Celtics. You guys do an okay job, I suppose.
Yeah, look, I am very willing to accept hate listens. Hate listen our show all day long. I am very happy. I don't care. Hate listen, love listen, whatever. That's fine with me.
All right, John, this was awesome.
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later. A lot of fun with Sean, man. He's a good dude. I'm glad that we get an opportunity to do this and have our crossover shows. Subscribe to them. They do a great job. Sean does a great job with them. It's always great to get another team's perspective. And what I love to do after a game is to listen to that team's podcast because it really does give you a sense of what the other team sees, what their guys see. We watch games differently, and it's really amazing to me that we are watching the same 48 minutes of basketball and we see completely different things. That's the beauty of sports and it's the beauty of differing perspectives. So the day after a game, you should always listen to Locked On Celtics, but you should always go to the Locked On podcast of the opponent because for half an hour, you'll get to see things through their eyes. And you may not agree with 80% of what they say, but some of it's going to give you a new perspective and be like, I didn't realize that that's how they saw that play. And if you go back and look at some of the plays that people are talking about on these podcasts, it really does give you a good sense of the totality of the game. So you're seeing it from a different perspective. It makes you a better educated basketball person. That's why I like to do it. I love to hear. I can't wait to hear on Saturday morning or whenever Sean records the podcast what he's going to talk about and what he saw from the same things that we saw and his perspective on that. So go do that. Subscribe to our podcast. Subscribe to the opponent's podcast, or at least listen to the opponent's podcast after the games. I'm telling you, you're going to get a real interesting perspective. Again, 5-star rating, a good review goes a long way in helping us boost our numbers, increase the listenership. And of course, that leads to increased advertising revenue. So that's a form of payment to us without actually spending money out of your pocket. That helps us out a lot. This is my full-time job now, so it really, really helps me out a lot if we can make a little bit extra cash. So if you want to subscribe to my Patreon, it's patreon.com/John Corrales. I rolled out a couple of articles, one on Gordon Hayward's quicker jump shot, one on the Celtics offense going into the season. As I get into the swing of things, I will definitely be producing more content in that regard. So do that. It's only $2 a month. Seriously, $2 a month. That's less than a medium Dunkin's. So that, I think, is very reasonable, and I'm going to make sure that I earn your money. So do that. And I appreciate you guys listening. Really means a lot. Thanks for listening. And of course, share the podcast. Tell everybody else to do the same thing. Listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.